aboard, you people. It is Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. Off for another day of broadcast insolence.
One more day to Lollapalooza row, but as you suggested, the traffic is already reflecting that it's very much around the corner.
It's awful.
Yeah.
It's just, it's awful. And I love Newsapalooza. Newsapalooza.
Lollapalooza. Lollapalooza.
Now, Newsapalooza was very different. Yes. I love Lollapalooza. But I do not. I love the idea of it. I want the business here. I want Peripheral to keep bringing it back here. I don't want to ever not be the home of Lollapalooza. But in the meantime, I would like them to be able to keep the streets open and maybe use drone service to deliver people.
That would be nice.
There.
Let's get that worked out. And then maybe on the back end, when they have to repair everything, kind of shorten that up too. You know how they have to repair all the sod and... And they do that, and that's nice. They pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes a little longer than you'd want.
Right.
Because it's sort of primo summertime still, and you want that to be usable.
And all the kids on the Molly. I mean, it's just... that. If you want to make some money this weekend, you could set up a Molly concession. Right at Michigan
Deal
Avenue.
Deal drugs? That's what you're suggesting?
Well, it's, I mean, what else are they going to do?
I think the drugs come pre-dealt.
First one's free, kids.
Yeah.
It's like a...
Just like a little lemonade stand.
Is it hot in here? Am I hot? Are you hot? Is it hot outside? Is it, who's hot?
You could sell a lemonade stand and then sell that on the side.
Oh, it's so stupid what's going to be happening. Well, because the kids are going to come out. They're going to be all hopped up on the Molly.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to be... And they do that thing, I described that before, where they get lost because they've never really been downtown before. And then they're already stoned. And they walk in a... They just keep walking around on Wacker and Michigan because they don't realize that they're going in a circle.
That's right. They have the flower headbands on, and if you just turn them in the right direction, they'll go there.
Right.
But sometimes they need a little guidance, a little help.
They can't figure out how to get to their hotel when it's right across the street from where they are.
Well, the problem is, too, you think you can just follow the groups of people, but not if...
Don't do that.
Not if the whole group doesn't
is
know.
Is on Molly.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It is. I mean, and they're going to shut down Lakeshore Drive accidentally. Right? It's not like an intentional protest. It's going to be, they just walked onto it. Hell!
Dude.
Hell, where are we?
Staring at their phone, GPS.
Well, they could walk on probably just following the rest of the group.
Are you hot? I'm so hot!
Dude, this sidewalk's massive.
Oh my god, it's so hot! Let's get in the lake.
I think we're on the road, dude.
What is that car doing on the sidewalk?
I still think the best business idea was yours, Ro, the Lala Vodka. You bury all the vodka for the kids, and then you create an app for them to have to pay, and then they...
Oh, I like that. You're like mining for vodka.
Yeah, vodka mining,
oh,
and you have it.
It
all pre-planted, and then you just have the app, and the kids...
And it's like a Pokemon Go.
Yeah,
right.
Yes. Oh, we're onto something
See?
Here.
Yeah. Let's
this
get that going, except it's illegal, but that's separate.
I didn't have the money to fund the Pokemon Go... like animations and all of that. So what I did is I have like tagged everything with GPS distinct coordinates.
Smart.
And now I'm selling those.
Great.
On the internet.
What a good idea.
And you can, and I buried everything from Smirnoff all the way up to Kettle.
You pay a little premium for the upscale.
There's one
great
goose. That's the one lost one. That's the unicorn of them all.
Ooh.
To go try to find that.
See, I mean, this is a huge step up for these kids. They're drinking like
pop off.
I know, it was a really
skull. Yeah, skull.
It doesn't matter at some point, really.
Pop off, if you spill the pop off on your hand, it starts to burn.
It goes on fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like, ow, 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 what is that?
Drink it faster.
We're onto something here.
We are. Yeah. There's something there. Except that selling alcohol to minors might be a little problem. That's the only problem I see.
Listen, I already suggested opening up a Molly stand, so how much worse can it be for me right now?
Teen drinking is very bad.
Thank you. Thank you, Vila. Well, I'm assuming all these people are 21 to get in, right?
Oh, right. Sure.
No? Am I wrong about that?
No. I would say no.
You don't have to be 21?
No, you don't. Do you? You don't have to be 21 to get in a Lala.
There's like a kids section.
Well, right. There's Kidsapalooza. Right. I've been to that with my daughter, but you kind of have to have a parent come with you for that section.
But there's 15 and 16-year-olds there.
The
I wish.
What I love is at Union Station or any of the train stations downtown, and you have these trains open up on Saturday morning, and they disgorge all these 15-year-olds from whatever suburb they're coming from.
Right.
And they all look completely... They all try to act totally confident.
Uh-huh.
When they walk out, until the first set of homeless guys come up to them like, hey! Hey! And then they're like running, oh my God, what are we going to do? Oh my God, what are we going to do? Uber, somebody call an Uber.
Please, quick.
And then the Uber, it's a $90 Uber ride from Union Station to Lala because it goes at 1 mile an hour. You're in the Uber for 2.5 hours.
Children 10 and younger will be admitted free of charge with a ticket holding adult. I don't know.
Wow.
Violetta, you might be able to pass if you'd sort of...
I guess you get a huge variety of demos at this, right? Because don't they even have like high-end tents now for people with money where they want to eat gourmet food?
Yeah, but it's like...
And they drink champagne.
But those tickets for the weekend, not the act, the weekend, but the full weekend, you know, the 4 days.
Right.
The tickets for that, if you want to do the high-end thing where they've got, like, air-conditioned tents.
Right, private tents.
VIP lounge around.
Yes.
And all that stuff.
Bruno Abate making you a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all that sort of stuff. Those are like $2,000 a day or something like that?
Yeah, they're nuts.
It's like crazy. I mean,
they have a layaway plan to pay for them, and that tells you something.
So you've got that, people that can afford that, and then you got teenagers trying to hop the fence and sneak into the thing.
Let me tell you something.
Huge range.
It's like the green zone over there. You cannot get over that fence. Don't show Trump this fence because he's going to want to buy it, and I think it's too expensive. But they have. I mean, it's like they've changed this now. They have like. You know, when we go off and do these, you know, like the conventions and stuff like that, and they cordon off these cities, they're using that type of fencing for it. They're using that, like, you know.
Well, after the first year, when half of the people just jump the fence.
Right.
Yeah, I drove past today. There looks like there's some seriously enforced fencing going around.
Yes. And they, they also have a. Good.
Yeah, do that
they literally, they got guys up there with the. It's very much American Sniper what's happening up there. You do not, kids, don't mess around.
Yeah, but all the glitter, the Daisy Dukes, the flower bands.
Quite the experience. It's, you know, it's fun.
Is it hot? Oh, I'm so hot. All right. Violetta, let's check in with you. But first, Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour news?
Ro will tell you how Superintendent Eddie Johnson feels about those 3D guns. I bet you can guess.
I bet I can. Here's Violetta.
Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, and Joe Donlin weeknights on WGN-TV News at 9 o'clock.
Stay close. Coming up after 6 o'clock, a chance to win a pair of tickets. See Scott Stapp, singer-songwriter for Creed. Tickets on sale right now at Ticketmaster.com for Four Winds Casino. Thank you, Cheesy DJ.
Nailed it.
Once again. He always does.
He really does. He's got that skill.
Yep. August 25th at the Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo. So that's coming up a little bit later on. Everybody just relax. I know, don't everybody rush for the Scott Stapp tickets. All right, let's talk to Ben Bradley, who's at the WGN-TV newsroom, where he's standing by.
Good afternoon. Shaping up to be a banner day for local politicians. Three stories developing right now.
Ooh. All right, I'm
let's
ready.
Hear it.
Tribune just dropped a bomb saying an ex-employee of Cook County Court Clerk Dorothy Brown has told the FBI the clerk herself picked up cash from someone described as a bag man for the clerk.
Oh, gee.
At the bag man's home.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
See, that's the kind of publicity Chicago doesn't need.
No. We've actually heard the word bag man in previous investigations involving the clerk. This is just one more thing that's dribbled out. She, of course, has denied wrongdoing throughout. So that is story number one.
She's running for mayor, let's remind everyone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And speaking of people running for mayor, another candidate, Willie Wilson, today.
Yep.
His staff tells us they gave out $84,919 today at the Cook County Treasurer's Office.
Yes. Yes, I saw him. He was on Windy City Live today. We saw him right afterwards. Very excited about that.
Yes. Well,
they found out that's legal, though. So if we go to the people's court here, bagman illegal. Giving out the cash at the county building, apparently legal.
Well, the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform thinks it was an in-kind contribution. They filed a complaint saying he should have reported it because this is the second time he's given away cash. You'll remember back on July 22nd. Stood at the church. WGN cameras were there rolling as he handed out $300,000.
Oh, we're watching that right now on the CLTV. Yeah, we're seeing him. I like that lining up together. It's, at church, aren't you supposed to be lining up to give the cash to the church, right?
Yes.
But a church reaches out to help people in need. That's another role of a church.
Yeah.
I just don't always see the person who's running for the office handing out the cash in quite so public of a way.
And interestingly, in their complaint, the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform points out that the amount that Willie Wilson gave out in that church was less than 10% of what he gave out in all of fiscal year. Represented. So, bottom line, in fiscal year 2016, he gave out 10% of the amount of money he did in that one day at the church. Their point is, hey, he's kind of running for mayor.
Hmm.
timing is interesting. He's suddenly giving away a ton of money. That complaint also points out that Willie Wilson's campaign for mayor spokesperson was listed as the contact on information about the foundation giveaway, and it also streamed live on the campaign Facebook
page. That was the part, I think, that got people, that they streamed it on the campaign's Facebook page. Because Willie says was on the show, and he said, he told us, hey, I give out this kind of cash all the time. This
well,
is
his
who
foundation
I am.
Documents, according to this this complaint, say he actually doesn't give out nearly the amount that he is giving out.
So let me ask you a question. If he were to just write it up as
an
a campaign contribution. In-kind
yes.
contribution, then it's legally correct?
Yeah, we've heard
ethically,
from some election officials in the first days after that giveaway that, yeah, you know, in some circumstances, the foundation can do what it wants as long as it's separate from the campaign. It's when those two commingle that it has to be reported.
Commingling.
So he's not doing a good job at keeping them totally separate is the concern.
So that is local political story number two. Are you ready for
we got another one.
We got one more.
Story
right, here
number
we go.
Three. First reported in Politico this morning, Northwest Suburban State Representative Nick Sauer resigning.
Oh.
The reason?
I didn't even know who he was, so this is, I don't know, should I be upset or not? I don't know.
Well, he's a Republican from Barrington, and he resigned today just a couple of hours after Politico reported that he is accused by an ex-girlfriend of sending naked photos of her to other men. He says staying in office would just be a distraction.
Revenge porn, never classy.
Never classy. Stay classy, Lake Barrington.
At least he's not married. I mean, he's got that.
Okay, well, that's good. Oh, you know what? Thank you, Ben.
That's what he's saying.
Thank you.
That's what he's leading with. State of affairs, let us celebrate that at least he's allowed to have a girlfriend.
Well, maybe this is why he's not married.
Yes.
Okay.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah.
I don't know that that has much to do with it. Yeah, but the revenge porn's a bad idea. Just a bad idea. And by the way, getting NACO for your boyfriend is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Or for your girlfriend is a bad idea.
Videos also.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because it just gets out.
Well, it haunts you sometimes.
Or it gets lost.
Yeah.
That's bad if it gets lost. Like, you know, like an old VHS tape. That's a bad thing.
Or it could make your entire world if you're Kim Kardashian.
Correct.
Very valid point.
Could create, you know, a Forbes empire.
Okay.
It could have the reverse effect. Just throwing that out there.
That's another fine day in local politics. We're covering it all for you on the WGN News beginning at 4 o'clock.
Oh, jeez. Right.
How's that for a tease?
Hey, Ben, I understand that you got our friend Tom Skilling to record your voice message. Is that right?
Yes. We were in a commercial the other night, and I was like, Tom, would you mind recording my voicemail greeting? And he said, well, sure.
Hi, this is Tom Skilling. You've reached Ben Bradley. What in the hell are you doing calling him?
See, now that's
that.
Good. You want it to be short. Because, you know, because people are going to get that message all the time.
So since I posted that video of him recording my voicemail greeting, I have been getting so many phone calls today. And when I pick them up, people go, no, don't pick up. I want to hear the voicemail greeting.
We don't want you, Ben. Yeah. We want Skilling.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's Skilling.
No offense, but they might get disappointed because they think for a second they called Tom Skilling.
Oh, true.
Because he goes, hi, this is Tom Skilling.
But you've reached Ben Bradley. Why the hell would you call him? We told him he should auction that off for charity.
All right, Skilling is going to do our weather forecast coming up next because he's more important than all of us put together. Wouldn't you say that's true?
Yes, I would.
Yes.
Agreed.
He's worth more than all of us put together. I can say that.
I try not to think about it.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ben. All right. We're gonna check in now with Kim Gordon. But first, 2 minutes, and then also keeping you up to date on what's happening on the roadways here, because a bunch of you got both the Ryan and the
northbound Lakeshore Drive.
Both the southbound Ryan, right, is also blocked?
Yes.
And northbound Lakeshore Drive blocked?
Yes.
And it's not because of any kind of social thing. It's because people can't drive. Rokon Show with Anna DeGlantis, 720 WGN. Permaseal Basement Systems bringing you Tom Skilling right now. And Tom,
yes,
I'm scared.
You are?
Yes.
Because you're looking at the sky up north there?
Yes. I'm looking at the sky out of our windows here.
That little shell has blossomed over the north end of the city. It's soon to head out over the lake. But, you know, we get these little clusters around. There's a pretty good one just east of Bolingbrook right now. A couple of showers have gone into Plainfield. We have a dying area of thunderstorms and showers out by Hampshire.
Were we supposed to have this today?
Yeah, yeah. These things bubble up. There's a little better coverage than I had anticipated this afternoon. I thought more like 10 or 20% of the area would be covered. Mm-hmm. Looks like we're getting more in the neighborhood of 40 to 60% coverage. But not everybody's getting it. It's kind of localized. They're in distinct little clusters. There's another one down south of Morris in Grundy County. A couple more moving across extreme northern Will County and toward Orland Park. There's one due to arrive there shortly. A shower just went through.
So these are like little...
Yeah, they're little clusters that have bubbled up, and they'll be completely capable of unbubbling once the sun goes down and, you know, the buoyancy of the air disappears with heating, as the heating eases overnight.
But looks like it's about to take over 303 East Wacker right now.
Yeah.
This dark, threatening, intimidating clouds.
It is. Yeah.
Is it going to hit us? Because I would like it to hit us because the spiders on the windows are scaring me.
Big spiders. They're like 2 inches.
These things are going east-southeastward. So, you know,
So this kind of maybe toward us, maybe.
Yeah. Like, it'll there's some, there's a southern extension of it. Looks like there's another little shell trying to get going, just about to go into the loop right now. And then there's another big one going toward Evanston at the moment. In fact, it's over Evanston. Other ones have left the shoreline up by Lake Bluff and Waukegan and Highland Park. They've gone out over the lake. So, and we'll get these little things to bubble up again tomorrow, and then we go into some real heat over the weekend. But, boy, we need rain. It is dry around here. That was the driest July since World War II. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. And about less than a third of the normal rainfall at O'Hare. Rain always varies this time of the year, but that's pretty low rainfall, considering you lose an inch and a half to evaporation every week on average at this time of the year. But by the way, welcome to August.
August.
It's the second warmest month of the year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
July is...
Anna, I'll tell you this. I'll just whisper this to you, Anna.
Oh, no. Okay.
We lose about 75 minutes of daylight this month, but it happens slowly.
Don't mention
that. Don't tell Ro, though.
Don't mention that out loud.
It already happened.
Don't tell Ro.
It already happened. I woke up... No, I know. Because I woke up at 5:30 in the morning a couple nights ago. Mornings ago.
What happened?
And it was still dark outside.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was freaked out.
Yeah.
Like, what I want it, you know, I like it when it's sun up at 4:50, you know, and it's sundown at 8:30. That's all I want.
What happened in your early childhood that we looked at yesterday?
Oh, what didn't happen?
That we figured has impacted your sad disorder.
The TV lights, right? Weren't they?
That's what it was.
The production lights.
Yeah. You grew up close to Channel 2, and therefore you were in a broadcast environment where you were flooded with, you know, bright lights as a youngster, and now as the lights have cooled off in the broadcast setting.
And hockey. And I would go to hockey games. Mostly, you know, it's interesting because my parents, we didn't, you know, the Hawks tickets were fairly expensive.
Yeah.
So I ended up going to Chicago Cougars games when I was a kid, at the amphitheater, which was, that was as low rent as a human being could go in hockey. But you'd go in there, and it was very much, it was so bright, because the lights, back then, the lights, you know, like all that, you know, any kind of stadium
really
light
bright.
Was super white bright.
Sure.
And against the ice, it always made me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like in the middle of winter, it was really dark, and then you'd walk into the amphitheater and it was like bright sunshine. And then, then you know, a little bit later on, it became the Blackhawks, where I could go to the stadium or, you know, eventually the United Center. It's the thing I love as much, you know, until they started really winning, the only reason I went to hockey games was for the bright lights.
So after the days and days and days of production lighting all day and hockey lighting at night, you probably felt like you grew up in Alaska or something.
Yeah,
I had sunlight all day.
There's been a biological amendment to Ro's DNA.
Yeah, his DNA's altered. We learned what happened now.
That's right.
That's why I went to South America in the middle of winter, so I could be in the middle of summer
down there in the southern hemisphere.
Yeah.
That helps, doesn't
it? That's what I did.
A heck of a plan.
Yes.
It really is.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm going to do it again this year. Mm-hmm. For a week, I'm going to... Yes, I'm going to go to Uruguay, because I want to go see if I can buy like a timeshare down there, just in case things don't go well here. And so the idea of, you know, of the, like, I love the idea of a good... 14 and a half, 15-hour daylight day.
You really want to leave us all behind.
Yep.
I'll tell you, when you get away.
Do you hear that, too? I hear that he wants to leave us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to go to another hemisphere.
Yeah.
Wow. This is quite amazing.
Although you could drive back if you had to.
There's
one thing you can't say about.
What is the attraction of Uruguay? I don't know a lot about
it. I don't either.
Yeah, I mean, it may be beautiful. I'm not taking out, you know, I'm not saying anything negative about Uruguay. I don't know.
Well, Paul Manafort suggested it to me as a good place for
bankers.
He might have a house for sale there soon. You could pick up that one.
I bet
it's nice.
I'll tell you the answer.
Certainly some clothing.
If you want to know the answer, actually, is that. It's one of those places, but Anthony Bourdain, before he took his own life, he did this thing on Parts Unknown about Uruguay.
Oh.
And there were other people that I was talking to about it after I saw it and who had been there. And then, you know, I went to Argentina last year, and I loved Argentina. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I was raving about it.
Yeah.
I know.
Gorgeous.
Yes.
Yeah.
It made me want to go there.
Me too, Anna. Yeah.
The jungles in the north to beautiful Buenos Aires and all that.
Mm.
But they said if you really want to get the best beaches in the world, it's in Uruguay.
Isn't
right
that
on the Uruguayan
something?
Which is just east of Argentina.
Yeah.
So, and it's got most of the Atlantic coastline there that's not kind of rocky. It's rocky in Argentina when you head south. But they have this amazing coastline of the Atlantic in Uruguay, and they say Montevideo is a beautiful city, and then it's just, and everything, you know, I'm not, I don't smoke the marijuana, I'm not interested in it, but everything is legal down there. And it's just, and there's like a whole beach kind of party. It's sort of like, it's like Hawaii, except you have to speak Spanish, which I don't really do.
Are there beaches down there sandy or not rocky?
Both.
They have both.
Yeah.
What about the real estate prices? Is it cheaper there to pick up a beachfront than it would be like in Florida or something?
Yes. Mm. Yeah. And it is, listen to this. And this is what really got me about it. It's one of the most underpopulated nations in the world.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
So you don't have to deal with people. Perfect.
Uruguay is, you know, hundreds of miles long. I think it's 1,000 miles long and a couple hundred miles wide. And it has as many people in it as the city of Chicago. Chicago metropolitan area.
That's stunning. You know, I remember as a child, I went to the city I was in. They had little travel logs at the high school. And we went to those on the weekends. And they were talking about these beautiful, secluded, open beaches. And they were talking about Baja California. This is before it had been really discovered. And they had pictures of these beaches, and they were just beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
So it sounds like that's what you're describing.
Yes, that's what I'm going for.
Wow.
I'm trying to get out.
That's great.
Have you been there yet, Ro, or you just seen
no,
the pictures?
No, I've just seen the pictures.
Okay. Huh.
I like that. I like somebody when they get, you know, get away, goes somewhere off the beaten path.
Oh, yeah.
We only live once, and it's kind of interesting to check this beautiful world out.
Yes.
It's true.
Right.
It's true.
And South America, I think, is one of the places that North Americans are least likely to go to.
Yeah.
it's a funny thing. People
well, it
go to
seems
Asia,
so far
they go
away,
to Europe.
You know?
Right, but it's not. I mean, you could drive there. You could literally drive there if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, I wouldn't want to.
No,
probably,
no.
I'll bet it's an exciting drive in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But you could. The amazing thing is that when you get down there, though, it is so, there's kind of a lost nature to it because you can see all these amazing resources that are down there. And if they had had political structures that actually allowed them to develop, because they've got the same natural resources or better than we have here.
Yes.
Right. And yet they've, you know, been so screwed up politically for, you know, post-colonial that they haven't been able to, you know, to turn themselves into something. But you can tell now that they're on the verge of something.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see. And I think Uruguay more so than anything else.
Well, you know, it's like that in Chile and Peru down there. You see these scenes that are like what you see up in Alaska. And it's just gorgeous. And a lot of, you know, these extreme sports people will go down there to ski and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
And one of our engineers went somewhere, I think it was in Peru, where you've got these multicolored mountains and valleys and all. There's striations to the mountains, and they're all different colors, and it looks like a kind of a zebra-like display of colors I've never seen anywhere else in the world. The pictures on it are just stunning. I can't think of the name of the place right now, but all I can think is, and you can walk up to it. They're treeless, And yet they look like small mountain ranges, and they're multicolored. It's just fascinating.
Yeah, I think you're talking about Chile, right?
Is it Chile?
It's the high plains there.
Yes.
It'll come to me in a second. Yeah. Because there's rock formations that have that striation. It's kind of like Sedona in that, but it's on the ground.
I thought you were talking about Machu Picchu first, but no.
No, it's it'll come. Somebody will tell us on the text line here.
Yeah, you got
to. But, all right, so we got to run. I'm going to take shelter right now, Tom, because it looks like it might start to rain.
Well, if you can hold out for the next 30 minutes, it'll be off the shoreline. Go out over the lake.
I think we can hold
I was going to go to an interior room.
I wouldn't
because
it was
because it's a light rain shower. Yeah. I'm
just
a bit of a panicker.
Just get your thunder shirt on.
As we've spoken here, the heaviest part of it is just ready to cross the shoreline out over the lake.
Oh.
So, I'd protect the yacht.
The yacht!
I know. We always tell Micah Matera that, to keep the yacht in harbor, and she said, well, she will.
I forgot to put the tarp over the yacht!
I know.
Yeah. Well, thing you have people for that.
Exactly, and you've got the helipad on it, so, you can just kind of get off it.
Well, my dinghy sank last night, so that was a separate issue. All right, I got
to
run. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
See you,
there you go. All right, Lester Holt's going to join us coming up here in just a few minutes. But first, let's find out from Kim what's coming up in the WGN News at the top of the hour.
Roe, the FBI says Circuit Court Clerk Dorothy Brown has a bag man. We'll bring you details of that investigation.
All right. There you have it. Violetta?
Then there's this, Bridget Gaynor. She's not going to run for mayor, but she is going to join the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow at 7:10 in the morning.
I find that all very interesting. All right, Marcel, I can answer the question that Tom Skilling and the rest of us could not answer
a
few minutes ago here. So, Marcella, what's the name of that place that has all the different colors in South America?
It's Cerro de los Siete Colores. And it's in the province of Jujuy in Argentina and belongs to the mountain range, the Andes.
Oh.
There you go. I'm going to have to ask you to show some identification before you call again. It's the new rules that we have here in America. All right. What a beautiful part of the world. Are you from down there?
I am from Argentina.
Yeah, see? What a beautiful country Argentina is.
Have you ever led tourism or a tour down there, friends or family or anything?
Oh, yes. I retired. I was a teacher for 28 years here, and a French teacher that worked with me, after talking about Argentina, she just went, and she loved my country.
It is a beautiful country.
I need to get there.
Yes.
You have to go.
The best time
is September, October, or March, April.
That's true. Although I was there in the heat of the summer, and it wasn't that hot, luckily. Oh. But it was... But it is also very big. But Buenos Aires is kind of in the summer, which is, I was there in January, which is the middle of their summer, and it kind of closes down. It's not as busy during the summer.
Oh, no, we go to the beach.
Yes, exactly right. All right, thank you very much, Marcel. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Bye-bye. I listened to you since I arrived to this country, and you helped me to learn a little bit of English.
Oh, it's the wrong English. That's the problem there. I'm sorry. I'd like to apologize.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
She helped us learn something today, so thank you, Marcelo.
The second person in a week who said that I helped them learn English on the radio. Yeah, it's bad.
It's pressure.
Right. Well, they learned how to scream in a lot of different...
This is how Rokun says it.
Yeah. No. Uh-huh. I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. All right, let's check in now with the news. Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 7:20 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Permaseal Basement Systems bringing you Kim Gordon's news. It's the Rokun Show with Anna DeBlantis.
Yes.
720 WGN. Lester Holt joins us from the NBC Nightly News, where in just about an hour and 15 minutes, he's going to hold forth.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to sit there. He's going to have his tie tied perfectly. And he's earnestly going to look into the camera and tell us what's happening in the world.
I love watching Lester.
All right. So let's talk about Rudy Giuliani was out today defending the president's tweet from earlier in which the president was asking Jeff Sessions to shut down the Mueller investigation. It's time to wrap this thing up, is what Rudy Giuliani is saying now. Either put up or shut up. Those were Rudy Giuliani's words. What is NBC reporting on this?
Well, of course, he continues to play the public opinion card. But interesting that the president's tweet used the word "should shut it down." That's what Giuliani is hanging on to as evidence that this was merely a suggestion, a personal thought, not an order. Other people look at it any time the president of the United States says something like that, but he is sending a specific message. So it definitely sent his lawyers scrambling after the president tweeted this. They have, as often in the case, they have to come back behind and try to clean up any possible damage. But many lawyers think the president didn't do himself any favors.
No, because he said, stop this rigged witch hunt. And then he appealed to Jeff Sessions directly on that. And some said, well, they reviewed that maybe it could be viewed as being threatening or intimidating him to act in a certain way. And when Sarah Sanders was asked about it, she says, hey, just an opinion. It's just an opinion, not an order.
I mean, you ask yourself, if your boss came in and said, I really think you should do X, Y, and Z, many people would take that as a, I have to do this. But, there's been several tweets that the Mueller folks have been looking at as they consider whether there's an obstruction of justice case here. And my guess is this one's being added to the list.
And his attorneys are saying that you can't really, obstruction via tweet really is a ridiculous theory. I mean, they're trying to say these are tweets, and it's a bizarre to say that any of this is obstruction of justice. It's out there in the open, and it's just meant as the president expressing his thoughts, his opinions.
Yeah, and it's ground we haven't crossed before. I mean, a lot of ground of this presidency we haven't. So maybe they're right, but it certainly took a lot of people by surprise. And the fact that his lawyers were very quick to jump on this suggests that there was a fair amount of concern there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know. A little bit of concern.
Yeah, I mean, I got a lot of concern, Lester. I mean, I just, when I stop and I think about all of these things and I try to put it in some sort of a context, historical context, the historical context for these are not good ones. I mean, we don't really have a good context for it in the United States, but we do around the world and in other places around the world and throughout history. This kind of stuff doesn't necessarily end well. And I just don't get it. I don't get how we get to a point where the president of the United States says, all right, well, you know what? We're out. There's an investigation against me. I don't like it. I'm going to end it. I think it's a bunch of BS. Well, I mean, that's not the way that goes.
Yeah, and of course Sessions recused himself, so this gets back to the question: would he fire Sessions, and then you get to Rosenstein, to eventually undo this? It's hard to imagine that, but as we said before, it's hard to imagine a lot of this.
Yeah, well, the impeachment of Rod Rosenstein, that's the question is: will they allow that to go to a full House vote? Because it's been introduced by the Freedom Caucus. And so those eight folks are going to vote for it, but will Paul Ryan allow that to actually go to the floor? And that becomes...
Yeah, that's a big question. I mean, it doesn't appear to be an appetite for that right now, but it's out there. You're right. It does have the support of this group of conservatives.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's going to be something. All right. Can we talk about Aeromexico for a second? I know you're an aviation buff.
Yeah.
Goodness. Yeah. Have you seen the new video?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
It's harrowing. And you think of being on that jet at the time, it's hard not to. And the fact that everyone survived.
Somebody had their phone out. They were shooting the takeoff. And this plane's going out the runway. You're looking out over the wing, and suddenly you see this. The sky get darker and the rain starts pelting. Apparently it was a hailstorm, and the plane barely made it into the air, and then it comes sliding along, and then the camera jiggles and people are screaming. It's awful to listen to, but then you think everybody at least initially made it off that plane alive. And we just learned I think there were 65 Americans on board the airplane.
Right.
Oh,
including a priest from the Chicago area.
Yeah.
I'm told.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're going to hear from Father Sanchez, and Tom Cassell is doing the report tonight. He spoke to him via Skype in his hospital room. He says the father was saying the plane was going down, was going faster. It hit the embankment. It flew a little higher. And he didn't think, he frankly didn't think they'd walk away from it. But so many people did. And one of the things we'll point out in our story tonight, there have been a number of cases. Look at that few years ago at O'Hare, the 767 that burned up on the ground.
Right.
Everybody made it off that airplane. And there have been a number of cases like that, which is, certainly makes us feel a little better.
Right. Toronto, there was a similar case in Toronto.
Yep, I covered that one. That was an Air France A340 that went off the embankment. Plane broke open. Everybody gets off before the plane was consumed by flames.
How long did they have in this case to get off before...
You know, I haven't seen the actual number of seconds, mm-hmm. but a lot of people said, you know, there was no way getting it over the wing because the I guess the engines had knocked off the wings, or the fuel, of course, were burning, so they had to go out the front or back exits. But wow. You know, we all ask ourselves, what would we do in these cases? Mm-hmm. But thank goodness people found their way off.
Absolutely.
And tomorrow is the 33rd anniversary of the American 191 in Dallas. The Delta 191 in Dallas that went down in a wind shear situation. I saw the former NTSB director talking about the difference now in aviation safety versus 30 years ago. And how much safer? And this Aeromexico situation is, you know, proof of it, because it was a modern aircraft, and they're designed to be easier to escape. They're designed to, when things go wrong, when they do catch fire, to control that at least for a period of time to get people off. And the construction of those aircraft to be able to take those that type of dynamic and impact is totally different than it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that flying is safer, although we should point out there are already questions being raised about the judgment of taking off in that kind of weather.
Well, typically, that for sure.
Especially if there's hail. Typically, they can see on their weather radar, you know, that there's a storm cell right over the airport, and they simply won't take it off. So there are going to be questions into the judgment call to take off into that kind of weather, and they might have met with a microburst like 191. It's hard to know, but I think they'll probably learn a lot from that tape, is my guess, along with, of course, the flight recorders, which will be easy to process.
Yeah, I saw one of the passengers on board interviewed who said, I travel all the time for work, and I thought it was remarkable that they decided to take off in that kind of weather at the time. I thought, wow, we thought we'd be delayed, and then we did take off. So you're right, there are already questions about that.
And why air traffic control in Durango let them do it.
Yeah,
I mean, that's another thing too. It's kind of up to the, you know, there's two people making the decision there. Mm-hmm. There's the captain who makes the decision for his plane, but if he's given the clearance, he doesn't have to take the clearance. Mm-hmm. But they cleared him to go, and then he chose to go. Yeah. So you got there's two questionable decisions there. Yeah. All right, and before we let you go, Lester, wildfires continuing to rage in California, and they say that this season for wildfires, because it has been so hot and so dry. Obviously, these are things that are happening up in Redding and other places in Northern California, but the whole state is under, you know, great concern here.
Yeah, I mean, it's been this bizarre. See, everyone talks about that fire season is kind of a year-round thing. Now they've got this, they call it the Mendocino Complex Fire. We've been watching that car fire. Every one of these gets a name, but this other one, they say this could be the worst day of it. There are thousands more homes potentially in the line of fire. And, you know, thousands have been evacuated. I mean, it's a, you know, this is still midsummer, and fire season, as a typical fire season, would not even flare up until late in the summer or early fall in California. So they've got tens of thousands of folks on the lines there, and a lot of lives being disrupted right now.
Absolutely.
And yet it has been a fairly quiet hurricane season, though.
Mm-hmm. So far. Yeah, so far. I mean, we're all bracing. I remember, I think it was a year ago in August, I was, I was on the hurricane tour. We were down there in Houston. Remember the flooding there? And then we went into the Florida, Miami, and then, of course, Puerto Rico. So hopefully we won't see that kind of activity again, but we're heading into that season very soon.
Yeah. All right, Lester, you know, you got to go. He's going to run down the hallway now. That's what.
Yes. Now I've got to fix my tie after you give me that big intro.
You better. Rose Bush prepared everyone for it to be perfect.
I'll be watching that today. What color tie are you wearing tonight, Lester?
I am wearing, it's kind of a gold, brown gold thing. Yeah.
Brown gold thing. All right. I'll be looking out for it.
I bet that'll look good.
All right.
Thank you, Lester.
Thanks, Lester.
Take care, guys.
All right, Lester Holt, NBC Nightly News. Let's check in with Kim Gordon, WGN Radio News. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
A massive Thanksgiving will be held in Des Plaines tonight to celebrate the fact no one died in that plane crash in Durango, Mexico yesterday.
Violetta?
Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook. Tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN-TV. Your pick just might be Chicago's Best.
All right, coming up in the studio, we're going to talk to the Reverend who wants to shut down Lakeshore Drive tomorrow.
Yeah, and the Tribune's reporting that they may shut down in both directions. They're still sort of trying to decide what's going to happen here. So we'll ask them.
Okay, we're going to find out about that coming up in just a few minutes. And then the Mooch is going to be here at 5:40. Anthony Scaramucci. We're going to celebrate his one-year anniversary of leaving the White House or his one-year and 11th day anniversary of getting his job at the White House. We're not quite sure which one we're going to celebrate with him, but we're going to celebrate one or the other with him, and that's coming your way. And I got Scott Stapp tickets for you.
Ooh, very nice.
Okay, how about that? Yeah, don't say I don't give you anything. That's what I want.
You're a giver, Ro. Yeah, I'm a giver. Love. One of the things we love about you, give and you give and you give.
Until it hurts.
Next.
Stay close. I got tickets to go see Scott Stapp, formerly of Creed. Tickets on sale right now for the Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo. August 25th. On sale right now. Ticketmaster.com. FourWindsCasino.com. It's your entertainment escape. 720 WGN. What was all the concern about Creed? Remember when it was Creed? You just couldn't. It was like Creed made your ears hurt.
Oh yeah, right. There's a song. Was that what was the song that?
Well, people were just like it was like because they're overwrought. I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought they were a bad band.
No. Is it kind of like the Nickelback thing?
Yeah, it's kind of like Nickelback. It's kind of like the Nickelback thing, but it's more. But Creed didn't last long enough to continue to be that, you know, that running joke.
I like both Creed and Nickelback.
Let's listen. What's this?
Well, I just heard the news today. It seems my life is gonna change.
She's just put her big lighter in the air.
He almost sounds like Cheesy Radio Guy there.
He's got that.
Like, listen to it again.
Stream down my face with arms wide open.
Arms wide open.
Arms wide open.
Arms wide open.
Come on, this is beautiful.
It's making me uncomfortable.
No, it's not.
Stay close.
With arms wide open.
Here. John. I cry every time I listen to this song.
Can't you just see a desert with rain? The tail light.
I see a briefcase with Jack Daniels and a shotgun or a handgun in it.
Drinking late at night by himself.
I'm just wondering if I could still go on. You know, there's nothing like listening to a little Creed, a little Nickelback, and having a good cry before we go to bed.
He does have that close mouth,
doesn't it?
Welcome.
Like, say welcome, Cheesy Radio Guy.
Arms wide open, welcome.
Yeah. Same thing.
Remember, was it when... hold on a second. Get out of my dream. Remember, was it... it was when Creed... Mm-hmm. That was Nickelback, right? Because I always get them confused anyway.
No, that was Creed.
That's Creed, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. That's Creed.
They even look very similar. Like, the long hair part down the middle.
Right. And you're like, are they like a Christian rock band, or are they like a what? You're like, you're never quite sure, but the thing is that with Creed, I think it was St. Louis where he like laid down on the stage, wouldn't get back up.
Really?
Yeah. And it was, it was like there was some weird kind of a moment where it was you know, Scott had some a few issues along the way.
Too much.
But he's got that. But he's got that sort of sound, you know. It's sort of a, you know, it's like a, yeah. Like
I loved Creed when I was like 9. And then I'm like, what?
Doesn't the guy from National Treasure remind you of Creed and of Nickelback?
From what?
National Treasure, that actor. What's his name?
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He belongs in one of those bands.
Yeah, kind of does.
I don't see that at all.
I do see that.
That's the movie you associate with Nicolas Cage?
Well, he's got that overly serious brow line, you know, and they all kind of have that serious look in their eyes.
Okay.
Arms Wide Open, apparently, 224, thank you, was written when he found out he was going to be a father.
Oh,
so, cheesy video guy didn't know that's what he was singing about.
I still cry to it every time I listen.
Is Cheesy Radio Guy a father? We've never asked him that.
Maybe he doesn't know.
Well, I'm sure I am.
I celebrate Father's Day just in case.
The promotional intern. Promo intern.
Number of overnight listeners. Promotional intern. A couple of barmaids.
Right. Some backstage passes that went well.
Mm-hmm. Ew.
I'll never forget the backstage in Tempe. San Diego Stadium, 1988.
Oh, ASU right over there.
All right.
Those college students. Right up his alley.
Right. At least they're
right. When they get home and they try to explain to their parents. So I met this DJ. I loved him.
Sounds like a DJ we listened to 30 years ago.
Dad, you probably know him.
I think he's the father of my child.
Oh,
gee. Oh, man. All
Mary,
right.
You're moving back home.
Would not be good.
All right. Well,
Creed is good.
Okay. Well, Creed. Well, Scott Stapp is going to be, and we got tickets coming up after 6 o'clock. That's what you need to know.
All right.
Scott Stapp is going to be at the Four Winds Casino. Mm-hmm. Your entertainment escape.
Cheesy Radio Guy will not be at the Four Winds Casino.
I don't know. I'm trying to get him a gig somewhere.
I think Lala was the place for him to go and report back from. I think it would be fascinating to see his observations.
Oh, yeah, that would be good.
I want to do like a whole Sacha Baron Cohen thing where I'm the character and I arrive on the stage in the full, you know, with the satin jacket and the whole deal. Yeah,
that would be
great.
You
could pull it off.
And the headphones.
Totally
and
good.
You know, the beard and the bad hair.
So we got to work on this.
Start interviewing all these millennial bands.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. That would be perfect.
There's something to that. All right. Let's stop down here for a second. We've got Reverend Greg Livingston in the studio with us. And the Reverend is the Reverend who's behind the idea of shutting down Lakeshore Drive tomorrow as part of a protest against violence in Chicago. And let's just so I understand, what time of day are we going to be doing this? And is it northbound, southbound, or both? Do you have an idea yet?
Well, we go to stage at 4 p.m. at Belmont and Lakeshore Drive. And depending on the size of the crowd, because I have no idea, we're definitely going to be blocking northbound Lakeshore Drive at Belmont. But we've had a lot of discussions already about the southbound side, too. So it depends on who shows up.
Now, are you going to march to Wrigley Field before the night game? Was that part of the idea here?
Yeah, after we block Lakeshore Drive, we're going to march to Wrigley Field, Belmont to Clark, and Clark to Addison.
Okay. And now, were you intending to enter Wrigley Field?
I don't know.
There was talk of that.
I don't want to be coy, but...
Yes.
Well, there has been some coyness. So is there a surprise we should expect tomorrow? Is that what... Because it seems like when organizers like yourself are asked about the plans for tomorrow, it isn't always specific.
We're kind of like a football team. We're huddling. We can't tell the defense everything we're doing.
Meaning the police department and the mayor's office. Because you are protesting them. You want them to resign, the police superintendent and the mayor.
Yeah, we need some new blood.
How does doing this get to that result, do you think?
It's about gaining leverage, making a demand, you know, making people uncomfortable. We're August 2nd, you know, tomorrow, 4 o'clock p.m. at Belmont and Lakeshore Drive. But on August 5th, it's the 52nd anniversary of Dr. King's march through Marquette Park, where he was hit in the head with a brick, very hostile environment. And I guarantee you, there was no strategizing with Richard J. Daley, nor strategizing with the police department about that particular march. And then on September 2nd, it's the 52nd anniversary of Dr. King's march through Cicero, Illinois, over the brutal beating death of a black teenager named Jerome Huey. And again, that was a very difficult piece. But the idea behind it, which he got from Gandhi, actually, because Gandhi was marching against the British crown. That's a whole other ballgame right there, is about, you know, biology teaches us that mutation requires irritation. And so for change. So human beings, typically, we won't do anything sometimes until we're pushed or made uncomfortable. And so it's the idea is that we are all intrinsically good. It's just that for some of us, we have to be reawakened or made aware that, you know, I always tell my church, Ro, that we're all just above ground dirt, and we eat dirt to stay out of the dirt. And so Chicago has been intentionally segregated. And so those of us that were able to make it out of the hood, we saw these things. So what do we do? Do we stay away or do we go back? So I went back. I've passed into some of the most challenging areas in the city, but also, like Dr. King taught in Gandhi, for the folk that don't know, they need to know. Because some people want to help, they just don't know how.
So how could they help?
Well, by joining us, because we need leverage against Mayor Rahm Emanuel. And the reason I say that, we can talk about reducing violence, but if we ignore the corrupt tree that produces it, we're going to just take that fruit off and some more is going to grow. And so Emanuel and Johnson did not start the corruption in the city, but we cannot allow them to perpetuate it.
But what's the which corruption? What corruption?
Well, for example, Ron's been sitting on $500 million in HUD funds for low income housing, and you know there's no political will to use that to help people. And he has $1 billion, you know, slush fund. I'm sorry, TIF, and his developer cronies, they get that money. Secondly, my old classmate, Eddie Johnson, we attended grammar school and high school together. It's not the easiest thing in the world for me to do, but we have our big boy pants on.
So what does, let me ask you, let's stick with that for a second, because I mean, we can argue about TIF money and you know, the budgeting and all that sort of thing, and that's certainly going to be in the political environment ecosystem here as you know, we head toward the mayor's race after the primaries here. So I think the fall into the winter is that conversation is to be had.
And for the people that need housing.
Right, that's to be had.
Yes.
But the question about the Chicago Police Department and Eddie Johnson, what do you think Eddie Johnson is doing wrong?
Well, he was illegitimately hired. You know, by law, taxpayer dollars, thousands of dollars were spent for a national search, and then there were three rigorously vetted candidates who were basically, you know, reformers. And they were law enforcement executives who were known as reformers. Rahm didn't want pushback from these kind of candidates. So he suspends the law and city council for one day.
You mean Emanuel?
Yeah, Rahm Emanuel.
Rahm Emanuel, okay.
He suspends, you know, the law and city council for one day, and he picks out a man who didn't apply for the job, had no interest in the position, for the second largest police department in the United States. Then my alumnus says, you know, I've never seen discrimination in the Chicago Police Department. I'm like, Eddie, you send officers to racial sensitivity training. And that's when it became brutally and starkly apparent to me that my alumnus, Eddie Johnson, has no spine and the mayor has no heart.
But let's get back, Reverend, to the part where you're going to go on the north side, and I get it. You're doing that purposefully because you want to go to areas the people who may not be something they think about every day, and you're trying to make them, in your words, uncomfortable.
Redistribute the pain.
Okay, so
can I say this? Redistribute the pain, the anguish, and the dormant hope.
And I'm there. I'm there with you. But then from that point forward,
but it's a traffic tie-up. That's not death.
Okay, but
I
make
guess
them mad. Disrupt the corrupt.
Okay, but maybe they are mad, and maybe they already feel like they would like to see change in all these areas, you say. And let's go back to your premise that people are good at their heart, and they want that too.
Yes.
So, but maybe they also feel powerless in this system. How are they going to change? What is it you're going to try to get these drivers by stopping them in traffic and disrupting this before a night game and the whole north side? How are you going to get those people on your side?
Well, typically in challenged and disadvantaged areas, the cries and complaints are not heard. They're neglected. But in better off areas, the cries and complaints are heard and attended to. So we got to bring the suffering to where the cries and complaints are heard. And I want to bring Southsiders and Westsiders of people that may not have had the best in life born into it to show them what a really well-funded neighborhood looks like, to show them what it's like to be around an optimally run police district and officers, so they can go back to their neighborhoods with a new standard of dissatisfaction. Say, you know what? That's not cool. Or on the flip side, a great experiment would be, let the folk from Lakeview and Wrigleyville march in Inglewood, march in Austin, come there and show us how to do it. You know, I mean, because we're just one body here. Chicago is one body. And if one part of the body is sick and we ignore and neglect that, guess what? The other parts of the body are going to suffer too, which is one reason you see more violence in areas that heretofore was considered to be safe.
Well, let me ask you, as a basic policing issue, if you have...
And poverty.
Okay. But let's just look at this from the perspective of, you know, day in, day out, night. Mm-hmm. We're in the summer season.
Yes.
As it's become known now, the killing season. Mm-hmm. How offensive is that, right?
That's where
we live. We live in a time and in a city in which this is an expected thing.
Mm-hmm. 300+ homicides so far this year.
You can have police officers roll up on a corner where you're going to have, you know, half a dozen to a dozen young men standing around on the corner, and they can disperse that corner. And then 15 minutes later, there's a shooting and five people get hit on a corner, right? I mean, that happens a couple times a month now in this summer. How do we address this from the supply side, if you use to use that expression? How do we get to the hearts and the minds of these young men to see something else in life other than trying to kill each other over a piece of turf
they don't own.
Right. Correct. Yes. They perceive to own it. Sure. They perceive to control it, mm-hmm. For the guys who are running them. And now, increasingly so, these are kids running kids. Mm-hmm. You know, like the gang hierarchies, a lot of them are either dead or in prison.
And
so you got kids that are, 15-year-olds being run by 18-year-olds or being run by 22-year-olds.
It's rough, man.
Right? So how do we get to that? Let's talk about real solutions here in terms of talking about the... You know, from the supply of folks who have got guns and have ill intent, have malign intent against each other. Mm-hmm. How do we get them to pay attention to taking life, making life sacred, to making this notion that killing another kid who looks like them but isn't of them, mm-hmm. based on whatever perceived, you know, gang affiliation or just, you know, they're mad at him about something.
Sure.
How do we get to them to stop that?
Firstly, you know what? Part of the difficult work is to inspire the uninspired, inspire the jaded, inspire the broken. There ain't nothing easy about that at all. Trying to perform psychic surgery on someone just so you can drop a right seed in them. I'm telling you, when they're born into this world and they're born in debt, if you will, you know, everything is against them already. I mean, I'm just telling you from my experience with pastoring, it is difficult. It's just like the police say. I'm a pro-police guy, but they tell people, you want to know what my job is like? Do a ride-along. Mm-hmm. Now, you show me how to break up that domestic case, right? Husband and wife fighting? Because when I grab the husband, guess what? My partner has to watch the wife. Even though she just got hit, she's going to go after me. Because that's just the craziness of our reality, right? And so it's really about having people with boots on the ground, those that are willing to have skin in the game. And that is the beauty of the King marches, of the Gandhi marches. It gives people an opportunity, which is what this is about, to create a platform where people can say, I want to do something. I don't know how, but I want the synergy and the creativity that can emerge by me doing this. Because when people feel angry, for me, anger is just a mask for pain. It's a way of, don't make me think about this, or don't make me think what I should be doing. Because if it was me in that position, I would want somebody better off to help me.
So what is the help?
Well, one of the things, you know, we want to do, you know, we have demands, real demands. So let me say this. Tomorrow morning at 9:00, we're going to be at City Hall, right? And again, we're doing the Kingsian piece, all right? King, on July 10th, 1966, took 36,000 people from Soldier Field to Richard J. Daley's City Hall, and his namesake, Martin Luther, you know, the Church of Wittenberg, 95 Theses, he penned his demands through the City Hall door. And we're doing that tomorrow. We don't have 36,000, but we have faith leaders, and we're going to do that on the fifth floor.
And what are your demands?
Well, demands are, one, we need to repurpose those schools that were closed. Because when those schools were closed, it cost the city, the taxpayers, $1 million a day to maintain those closed schools.
How would you like them repurposed?
Well, you know what? I've talked to Ronner and Rom about getting these big companies like Google and Amazon. I'm glad they're here. But they're here on tax incentives and tax abatements. And so they're being subsidized by taxpayers. But let's turn these closed buildings into digital training centers. The kids born in the 21st century, technology is normative to them. So for the other people in the neighborhood, they get jobs in there, you know, janitors or whatever, and it helps to restabilize the neighborhood. Nothing stops a bullet like a job. So imagine if Google, which is cash rich, and these other companies that are cash rich, if they just invested in these buildings and put these things in there, all of a sudden, Austin becomes a little India. Inglewood becomes a little India. You don't have to outsource it anymore. You can insource this work. You know, we have to be creative and have vision, but if you don't have the political will to help people who need help, then nothing gets done until, you know, quick story. My country granddaddy had a hound dog, you know, and he's sitting on the porch with his friend, and the dog is just whining and crying. And his friend says, why is that dog crying like that? He said, because he's lying on a nail. He says, why doesn't he move? He said, it doesn't hurt bad enough yet. And that's human nature. Many times we will not do anything until it becomes so uncomfortable. We want Rahm's friends, the folks he listens to call him and say, look, do not have these people come through my place anymore. We need leverage.
Yeah, but I mean, doesn't that just sort of, you know, these, what do you mean by these people? Right?
The poor. The poor, the huddled masses.
Right. Aren't we sort of playing into what is already one of the bigger problems that we have in the city is this basic racial misunderstanding of each other?
You know, racial misunderstanding. Let me say this. When people talk to me about American racism, I always say, you know, that blacks have never crafted or drafted legislation to restrict the citizenship of white people in this country. Never. You can't think of one law we ever made to restrict white citizenship. Flip the script. So when we talk about violence and racism, we were brought here violently. We were kept in slavery violently. And so people think, you know, I happen to think that you can affect someone's DNA and genetics through outside external forces. You know, so then it took a long time for us just to get to this point. But America is a violent country. You know, I always find the hypocrisy of going to a Schwarzenegger movie, a whatever movie, and we celebrate the boom, boom, kill, kill, and then we walk out and say, we don't like violence. That's a lie. Violence is a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Yeah, but violence on the streets, though, is not something that I think people, you know, understand the difference between
guys learn how to be lovers watching movies. Why can't they learn how to be killers too?
Yeah, but do you really think it's the Arnold Schwarzenegger movies?
No, I'm saying where there's a
14-year-old kid's gonna level a gun against another 14-year-old kid in this city. Do you think that has to do with the Schwarzenegger movie, or do you think it has to do with some other beef that's going on between those two people?
No, I'm just saying that America has a legacy of violence. You know, when I went down to Stateville, the guy took us on a tour, and he said, we need a shipment of 300 boys a week to keep this place going. So they're down there working for pennies on the dollar for Microsoft, Dell, Levi's and stuff. But when they get out, they can't get a job at the same companies doing what they were doing in jail because they have a background.
Listen, this is a good idea.
The system is so backwards. And so what we have to do is the American way. We got to make changes, man. The British are coming. No, y'all ain't.
All right. Well, maybe they are before this is all said and done. All right, Reverend, thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right,
so
be
much.
Safe all out right. there, and hope everybody is safe out there tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, man.
All right. Let's check in now and find out what's coming up in the news at the top of the hour. Here's Kim.
Roe, former President Obama put out a list today of endorsements for the upcoming midterm elections.
Violetta? Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, tomorrow I want to explain this.
Yeah.
Something very exciting tomorrow.
Interesting things going on.
We're just meeting with Mr. Manley, who runs this joint.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is kind of fun. We, of course, are the radio home of the Chicago White Sox.
We are.
And the White Sox have a number of games that throughout the season pop up into the time that we're normally on.
That right? happens.
So we do get some... we do get calls from people who are like, you know, what happened? Why aren't you guys working during this?
What's going on? Where do I find you?
They go and they listen on the internet and they hear this mishmash of other stuff that's right. on the internet.
It's like, that's not you guys. Where are you?
And starting tomorrow, when we have these kinds of things, we are the show as it is currently constructed, as we normally would do at 3 o'clock. You can tune in to us tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
On WGNradio.com. Just hit the listen live and we'll be there. If you have on your phone, you're using your phone or, you know, you're through your whatever kind of smart speaker you have, you mm-hmm. can say, hey, listen to WGN Radio on TuneIn. Or if you have the WGN app on your phone, which is a great app, you'll be able to hear us all live right there. So how about that?
My mom's actually listening to us in Serbia off the app.
Oh, that's so cool.
Can we swear since we're not over here?
You can swear in Serbian.
Really?
Yeah, she does already. So tomorrow it's a fully constituted show on the internet, and then after the White Sox game, the radio, the WGN 720 AM radio will join us in progress.
So no reason to say, where are they? What's going on?
Right, because we're here.
We're there.
We're working.
We're there for you.
Right.
And hey, Ro, can I interrupt you just for a second? We have a severe thunderstorm warning now for northwestern Will County, southeastern Kane County, and central DuPage County until 6 o'clock tonight. That is northwestern Will, southeastern Kane County, and central DuPage County until 6.
We have texters.
And that is a severe thunderstorm warning.
That's a warning, yes.
Okay. And we have texters saying it's monsooning in Naperville.
It's monsooning in Naperville.
I don't know if that's the strict weather meteorological term of that for that, but it's certainly coming down.
Enough. I get what they're saying.
We know what they're saying.
All right, here we go.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
We'll do that.
Number five.
So this morning, the president tweets that the attorney general should end the Mueller probe now. So the president's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, had to try to clean up that mess on aisle five.
I said it about 2 weeks ago. Jeff said it actually just yesterday on Fox that we believe that the investigation should be brought to a close. We think they're at the end of it. They should render their report, put up. I mean, I guess if we were playing poker, we're not. We'd say put up or shut up. What do you got?
How about that? Now, ABC News is reporting that Robert Mueller, this is interesting. Robert Mueller is now saying yet he would like to interview the president specifically about obstruction of justice. He has questions for him that he would like to have answered in response in writing and also verbally.
Right. They're saying they want him, it's specifically obstruction of justice, and that tweets might be part of it, what he's written as well.
So I think we're getting to kind of an inflection point, as they like to say here. Checking in at
number four.
The president campaigned for Republicans in Florida last night, where he talked about border security and his push for voter identification.
The time has come for voter ID, like everything else. Voter ID. You know, if you go out and you want to buy groceries, you need a picture on a card. You need ID. You go out and you want to buy anything. You need ID and you need your picture. In this country, the only time you don't need it, in many cases, is when you want to vote for a president, when you want to vote for a senator, when you want to vote for a governor or a congressman. It's crazy.
Everyone reacted to this saying, well, you don't need an ID to buy groceries. And then the Sarah Sanders said today, well, he's talking about when you go to a grocery store and you try to buy alcohol. That's what he meant to say.
How come they're always having to explain what he meant to say?
I don't know. That one, come on. He knows for groceries you don't have to have an ID. I think he just used a bad example there. I don't think that's a big deal.
Okay.
I get the cleanup after all. The language is always loose, right? It always is.
Well, I think when he did it, if you hear it, it's one of the few times the audience wasn't like thunderously responding
like, what
to
did
him.
He say?
They're sort of like,
what did he just say?
What? I don't think we do need an ID. Is that new?
Does Aldi require that? I don't know.
Right. All right, we'll get
Mariano's to Mariano's doesn't.
Year three, year two, and year one. But first, here is Kim telling us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Roe, a former Illinois congressman, back in jail for the third time.
Oh, boy. Oh, I can guess who that is. All right. Here is Violetta.
Then there's this. 100 events, 19 days, one epic food festival. Visit ctfoodbowl.com for the ultimate Chicago food experience. And it's this August, which is starting today. Hello, August.
Hello, August.
Goodbye, July.
I don't want to say goodbye to July. I don't want to.
I know. Summer is slipping away from us.
July had a good run.
It was a good July.
Yeah. It was the driest July since World War II. I like when they say that. Why do I have to think about World War II?
We start August by some monsoons in Naperville, according to one of our texters.
All right. It's beautiful, sunny downtown right now, but it's all heading through here. We got troubles. We got the troubles. All right. Here we go. Top five continues.
Number three.
An Ohio judge ordered a man to have his mouth taped shut.
Gee.
Defendant in a case, his name is Franklin Williams, he would not shut up in court.
So at this point, I'm going to hear from your lawyers, and that means zip it.
But you're not letting me.
That means zip it right now.
You trying to?
Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't.
That again, I'm going to interrupt. Mr. Williams, listen. Listen to me.
I'm not being allowed to speak how I need to speak. He's stopping me from talking. He's gagging me, putting tape over my mouth at this moment.
And I'm being honest with
everything I say. Prisoner Transportation Company.
Listen to the judge, I suppose.
So the judge said this afterwards.
I will say that over my time handling his four cases, Mr. Williams, I know for a fact, was someone who liked to speak. Everybody has an opportunity to make the record with my court reporter, but we can't do it at the same time, and we can't do it yelling over each other. So my intent today, as always in the courtroom, was never to silence Mr. Williams, right? He would have his time, as I did. I gave him an opportunity to speak when it was an appropriate time. But more than not, he continued to speak over me and others in the courtroom.
Seems like an extreme measure.
Yeah. And can't you just send him back into the little, whatever, the little holding area is?
Mm-hmm. I would think so, unless there's some rule that you have to be present.
Wait, there's
for charges.
I think they tried this.
Why not take him out of the room and you continue on without him like you did in the past?
Yeah, so moving him out of the room was his choice when he failed to show up for trial, and I could move forward with trial. It's my responsibility at all times to keep him in the courtroom.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know how I feel about all this.
I know.
The guy's not helping himself. There's no question about that.
And he seems like he's got a long history with this judge, so it wasn't the first sort of acting up in court experience.
Yeah. So, but I'd say, all right.
The visuals don't look good.
Seems a little personal.
Plus, when you get the tape taken off, it could
very
chap.
Painful.
It's very, mm-hmm. It's not mm-hmm. nice. And where do you have tape? Do they have mouth covering tape in the courtroom?
It's red. It's very peculiar. Like, it just looks like red duct tape that they put on him.
Does every courtroom have red duct tape on it?
I've never seen heard of this ever before.
I mean, if we had that problem, like a guest, what would we do? And where would we get
we
the duct
have,
tape?
We have, like, scotch tape here, I think.
Right.
That wouldn't work. You could still talk through that.
Thank God we don't.
Yeah. Oh, don't you know it. But we're thinking about scotch taping Violetta, but the only problem with scotch taping her is it'll, you know, because it gets, if it gets a little bit wet, you just get right through it.
Not very effective.
Yeah, not very effective at Mm-mm. all. No, I don't know what to do. I don't know. I'm feeling less comfortable here.
Mm-hmm. Number two.
A new preview for season 15 premiere of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Season 15.
15?
Yeah, well, it's not 15 years. You know how that goes? It's like two, three seasons a year. Yeah, it's a lot. Turns out the Kardashians are going ballistic on their sister Kourtney while trying to plan the family's annual Christmas card photo shoot. Oh, no!
She's changed.
Kris Jenner offered to help Kim because Kim was complaining that Kourtney, who was also in the room, was being difficult. Oh, no. How are they going to get their Christmas card out?
You are annoying, Kourtney. You're being annoying.
Why? Because Kim wants it around her schedule?
Do you know what we're fighting about? There are people who have
her day.
Maybe if you had a business that you were passionate about, then you would know what it takes to run a business, but you don't. So don't even act like you know what I'm talking about.
I need Kourtney to not be so annoying with a stick. Like, she runs this because she doesn't. She's the least exciting to look at.
Oh,
each one of those clips makes me
such a classy family.
Mm-hmm. Less likely to watch that.
Notice the Jenners don't even show up for it anymore because they're super rich.
Right.
They don't need the Kardashians anymore.
The Kendall
Jenner
and
girls.
Kylie.
Yeah.
Kylie was just on the cover of Forbes for her $900 million cosmetics empire.
Yeah.
And Kendall's, you know, she's in New York doing the fashion thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But where would they be without Kim's sex tape?
That's true. It all comes back to that. I would agree.
So let's, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Reel it in.
Exactly. Thank you, Ray J. Thank you for all of you have done. All right, and finally,
number one.
2006 feels like a lifetime ago, doesn't it?
Oh,
last
boy.
Week feels like a lifetime ago. There were no iPhones in 2006. MySpace was the place to be. Seth Rogen wasn't famous. Tom Cruise didn't know internet porn existed. Let Judd Apatow take you back to a simpler time with his gripping story about when he brought the not-yet-famous Seth Rogen to a meeting with Tom Cruise and sat back and Seth explained to Mr. Cruz that people are having sex all over the World Wide Web.
And I don't know how it came up, but it usually comes up with Seth where he starts talking about marijuana and pornography. And he starts talking about watching adult films on the internet. And Tom Cruise goes, what? Wait, you're saying there's adult films on the internet? And Seth's like, yeah, there's all these movies on these websites. And Tom Cruise's like, wait a second, you're saying if I go on the computer, on the World Wide Web,
the information superhighway,
there are people having sex on this highway? Yeah, I watch all the time. It's great. Everybody does it. It's not a big deal anymore.
So great.
Not a big deal anymore.
No big deal.
No big deal. Watching porn.
Yeah. I don't know. Tom Cruise does seem bewildered by a lot of things.
In his own world.
A lot of touch.
Yeah. In his own world.
That's what Scientology does to you.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of things that can do a lot of things. There's a lot of people out there. Could be a 400-pound guy in his basement. I don't know.
Gee.
All right. Let's close this thing up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The top five at five.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN Chicago. That's a big deal right there at WGN. Anthony Scaramucci is joining us. The Mooch is loose and he's back with us. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. I know you're a very busy man. Just got back from Israel. I saw you on TV over the last week talking to people from there. And I gotta ask you a question, because it was a year ago, just about a year ago, that you were no longer the communications director of the White House after a short but interesting. I gotta say, it was a very interesting 10 days.
Fascinating,
mm-hmm. I think for all of us, right? But if Ryan Lizan released that tape, and let's just say the whole thing had just, you know, you'd moved, you'd been there, you'd still be there. Do you think that the White House press operation, because you've always been sort of a moderating voice about this, you know, when the president seems to be kind of out there rhetorically, you've been one who's been saying, well, this is what he really means, and if it were me, I wouldn't have him say that. Do you think it would be different a year from now than it is?
Well, I mean, listen, I appreciate you saying all that, but I don't think I would have lasted. I mean, I think that the Ryan Lizza conversation, obviously I made a mistake and I'm accountable for it. And so, you know, I lost my job for it. So I can't really say anything more than that, you know, I made the mistake and paid the price of my job. But I don't really think that was it. I think at the end of the day, you know, John Kelly made a decision that he didn't want people like me that were that close to the president in the perimeter. So he was on a cleanup operation to take all of us out of there so he could have more control over the shop. So I only lasted 11 days, which is 954,000 seconds if you have a therapist. You can use it that way. But
sounds
but,
longer.
You know, the truth of the matter is I don't think I would have made it because, you know, he would have figured out a way to take me out as he's done other people that were close to the president. So I'm a big boy about it. But had I made it, and the president, and I was able to bend the president's ear, I would have really tried to get him into a spot that was in a little bit more neutral related to the press. I have said that consistently. I don't like the ratcheting up of this rhetoric, because if the rhetoric turns to violence, it is a very bad thing for the United States. He's the leader of the free world. And I know he's upset about the negativity, and I understand that, and I respect that. And I know he's a counterpuncher and likes fighting back, but he is the leader of the free world. And igniting this sort of fire coming from that office, I think, is dangerous. And I've been very outspoken about that. I've talked to him about it. Obviously, he disagrees with me. I've talked to other people on his staff. And, you know, what you'll find about a guy like me is I'm not a yes person. You know, if somebody comes into my office and tells me I'm tall and right, then I know I'm in trouble. But if they say I'm short and I'm wrong, now I know I have a relationship with the person. You know, so sometimes, you know, they're loyal, but they're actually the most disloyal. You know what I mean? So,
all right, hold on, Anthony, hold on 1 second, because you're breaking up just a little bit, and I want you to make this point, because I've heard you make this point before, and I think it's an important one. But when it comes to the issues of loyalty at the White House. The president is looking for loyalty, but sometimes it appears to me, and I'm not inside, I'm just watching from, you know, here, I'm watching from Chicago. It seems to me that some of the people that he's getting the best loyalty from, he's not getting the best service from.
Yeah, well, I think that's counterintuitive. I don't know if you can hear me better now. I've moved to a different spot, but I think that's counterintuitive. I think that your best people are the ones that are offering you constructive advice and how to make things better. As an example, there were guys inside the White House applauding the child separation policy. That was absurd. You know, without the help of Melania and Ivanka and people like myself telling them the truth, they were really going on a very bad path in that. You know, when the journalist got shot in Annapolis, the staff decided to leave the flag at full mast. That's another mistake. And so once it was brought to his attention, he brought it down. I wrote an op-ed about 2 weeks ago related to the trade in tariffs of the FT. You can find it there online. But I said, you've got to moderate this position because you don't want to create a crisis of psychology in the stock market. So, and he did walk it back last week, and I talked to him after the Juncker meeting. And so, listen, I'm not taking credit for that or anything like that, but I'm basically telling you your best people, your most loyal people, are the ones that are going to tell you the truth. I think it's false loyalty if you're sitting there yesing a person when you think they're driving off a cliff.
Anthony, speaking of loyalty, I want to ask you about the Michael Cohen-President Trump relationship, because his loyalty went totally the other direction. He went from saying, I will protect him to the day I die, and then very strong language about his relationship with the president, to releasing those secretly recorded tapes and seeming to indicate he'll fully flip on the president, no problem. Here's someone who is intensely loyal to the president. I don't know if you know him that well, but what do you make of what's happening there? Obviously, some serious legal charges.
Well, I know him very well. Both of these guys are friends of mine, and they've been friends of mine for a decade plus. So, you know, we worked very closely, Michael, myself, and then Mr. Trump on Mitt Romney's campaign in 2012. So I don't like seeing the rift between the two of them, and I don't like seeing the divergence of their legal strategy, frankly. And I think there's blame on both sides. In the president's case and his legal team, they shouldn't have left Michael out in the cold. And I think Michael's been impatient in terms of his strategy as it relates to the president. So, you know, I just think mistakes are being made on both sides. And what I know about relationships is if you're not communicating and things are going bad, or you develop a level of paranoia, you start to think the wrong things about each other. And so now you're rolling down a hill that probably neither one of them want to be on right now. So I think that's dangerous, frankly. But the truth of the matter is, I do believe the president on this as it relates to things related to Russia, because I was very close to him during the campaign. And even though I was only in the White House for 11 days, I worked on the campaign for 2 years and was part of the executive management transition committee. So, you know, I didn't see any levels of Russian interaction, Russian collusion, Russian conversation, if you will. And so I've maintained that. And I think knowing the president's personality, knowing he doesn't use email, knowing that he's very rarely on his cellular phone unless he's tweeting, you know, if he's co-fessing, that's a different thing, right? But I don't see him in a position of collusion. Are there people on the periphery of the president that may have done things that were regrettable, illegal, collusive? Yeah, possibly.
But all right, I get what you're saying, and I respect your closeness to all of this. But at the end of the day, you got to look at what we do know. We obviously know that the Russians were trying to get through Don Jr. Right, and they got that meeting, and Don Jr. did in an email, which is out, say, you know, I love this stuff. Now, at the end of the day, whatever happened there, we'll have to see what the special counsel has, if anything, at the end of the day that ties that into a criminal act. But there certainly was, would you say, the intent to have the Russians give them dirt on Hillary, was that intent a malign intent, or was that an intent by Don Jr. that would have been just naive?
Yeah, so, I mean, listen, I'm friends with Don Jr. I've got a lot of respect for him. Obviously loves his dad. I think that was naive. I think more experienced political people may have still taken the meeting, frankly, but just brought a cutout to the meeting so they themselves weren't subjected to the scrutiny that's now going on. I think the president made it clear after that meeting was exposed that most people would take the meeting, and I think that's pretty honest. Having said that, in hindsight, I really wish he had not taken that meeting because, you know, when you have adversarial relationships and you're in politics in the United States, and I just got back from Israel, and the joke there is that they build you your jail cell the minute that you declare yourself running for office. And so now everything is weaponized as it relates to political opposition and levels of criminality. And so what's happening now is we're going after each other in such a vicious way, and they would be going after Secretary Clinton if she was the 45th president. Sure, they'd be going after her emails. They'd be going after the Uranium One transaction. They'd be going after her foundation with President Bill Clinton. And so what I'm upset about, and I think most Americans that are rational are upset about, is that these guys are just spending their day going after each other as opposed to focusing on policy that's good for the United States. So, you know, I have some disagreements with the president, but I'm a huge fan of the president. I'm a big supporter, and I'm loyal to him. And if you look at his policies, the policies have been fantastic for economic opportunity in the U.S. You've now got the lowest African-American and Hispanic-American unemployment rates since they've been recorded. The deregulation process has led to more growth and more prosperity. And I do think that you're going to see a nuclear-free Korean Peninsula. And and hopefully you'll invite me back on the radio.
Yes.
You'll find that the Iranian theocracy is on the decline as well. So,
let me ask you right before we let you go, though.
Yeah.
You made the point, and it is a good one, about the economic opportunity. But do you get the sense, do you understand why it is that African-Americans and Hispanics in America feel less welcome by this president?
No question. You know, you asked me the question in the beginning about the communication and the strategy. The president, frankly, given the economic dashboard, guys, the president should have a 60% approval rating.
Right.
But what we're doing is we're taking a shotgun out, a 12-gauge shotgun, and we're blowing off both feet every morning. And I think that that's something that if we avoided doing that and we were acting a little bit more inclusive and got less distracted by the negativity from the press. You know, the Harvard study said 91% of the press is negative on the president. That's not me saying it. That's Harvard University doing a study. But, you know, my advice to the president would be, okay, let's get the gun on the bird. Let's ignore all that stuff. Let's work on the politics of inclusion, the symbolism of inclusion, dial back some of the coarse rhetoric on Twitter. And I think his approval rating would go up, given the fact that he's delivering on a lot of promises. But we're disconnected communications-wise from the actual policy. So, you know, but the thing is, you got a lot of people in the White House now that are very fearful. They like the job. They like flying around on Air Force One. I did it 3 times in 11 days, so it was quite nice. And so what they don't want to do is they don't want to go against them. They don't want to lose their seat of power.
Yeah,
I think if you want to do the right thing
for America,
you got to speak up.
Yeah.
You know,
for America.
I just really believe that.
Yeah. All right.
By the way, the average American knows this. You know, the average American knows that we got to do this. But, you know, he's controlling the bully pulpit. If he calmed down a little bit, his approval rating would go up. I really believe that.
I don't disagree with you on that.
Right.
All right. Anthony Scaramucci, thank you very much.
Anthony.
Always appreciate your time.
Hey, great talking to you guys. I'm sorry I'm on the road here, but next time I promise to call you from a landline.
All right. Well, and then when you're in Chicago, come through.
Yeah,
you can always do that.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
Thanks.
You got it.
All right, bye.
You got it. Let me stay longer than 11 days, though, okay, fellas? I need to stay a little longer than 11 days.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
All right, goodbye. There he goes, Anthony Scaramucci. All right, let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Roe, day two of the Manafort trial reveals lavish spending paid for with cash and offshore transfers.
Violetta?
I got a Creed on the box for you right now because I got some stamp tickets.
Quarters in session. A verdict is in.
Verdict in.
No appeal on the docket today. Just my own sin.
Yeah, my own sin.
The walls cold and pale. The cage made of steel.
My God, you guys are right. This guy does sound exactly like
that. Doesn't he?
Like, yeah.
A little kind of DJ. Marbly mouthy, yeah. A little bit.
Long Lost Brothers, maybe.
Ah, maybe.
Little nasal line.
I wouldn't know because I never met my parents. Hey, right now. Call number 19 is 312-91-7200. Rips is offer a pair of tickets. See Scott Stapp.
Who? Get a swig of Jack before you finish that.
Scary, you want to see Scott Stapp?
What?
He's a singer-songwriter, frontman for multi-platinum selling band Creed.
People may not even know what they're calling in for. Just call
I'm not
in.
Sure I understood that.
Live in concert August 25th, Fort Wayne Casino, New Buffalo.
New Buffalo. I heard that.
Tickets on sale right now. Ticketmaster.com, Fort Wayne Casino, your entertainment escape.
Oh, dear. I somehow feel trapped.
How do you say the guy's name?
Scott Stapp.
Okay. Hopefully people understand what they're calling in for there.
Everyone's just grabbing their phones calling.
Like, whatever. I'm not sure what he said. Giving something away.
So they end up being caller number 19. Hold on a second. Wait, hold on. You end up being caller number 10 and number 19, and you're not sure what you're getting, right? Is that the issue?
But, that's the best.
Yeah.
Treasure.
That's right.
Mystery prize.
Love to see Treasure.
Scott Stapp, what part don't you understand about that?
I don't understand all of it, any of it.
Some of Cheesy Radio Man is rubbing off on Anna. She's getting good at that.
Why? Well, just you hear it in your head, don't you? After he talks, it's like, oh my gosh. Here we go.
It's this guy right here. Scott Stapp.
You said like 10 different ways.
From the band Creed. It's the greatest band that ever lived. I know a lot of people want to talk about the Rolling Stones. But Scott Stapp and Creed, man. They really knew how to rock it. And I'm telling you something, he's like my brother from another mother. On the Big G 720. Yeah, feel like forever.
Yeah, you both are kind of closed mouth talkers.
It's always at the end of the sentence where he sounds like cheesy.
Mm-hmm. Radio guy.
So this guy.
That guy, okay.
You want tickets to go see this guy?
Clears
Scott
it up
Stapp.
My sacrifice.
He's losing it a little.
I don't even remember what I was doing here. Wait, hold on a second. Where's my Jack Daniels? All right. Anyway.
If Scott Stapp grew weed, would it be called Creed Weed? That's a contribution from one of our listeners.
I wrote that years ago. And I get credit for that joke. All right. Anyway, Scott Stapp, who, you know, I mean, it's Creed. You got to be ready for the Creed. You got to be ready for the Nickelback. You got to be just ready.
Yeah. You have to be in a certain state of mind.
Yeah.
And you really can appreciate it.
See, I like it because no matter where you are at the concert, it's going to feel good, you know? Like, no matter what song they're at, it's going to be peaceful. And
peaceful.
Yeah, it's peaceful.
The problem is, how will you know which song is which? I think that becomes the question.
Let's listen.
Because this one sounds just like the last one we just played, right?
They're like sad but happy at the same time.
Yeah. Well, they're very inspirational.
I love
them. That's the thing I love most about them. Uh-huh. It's because it's all about the inspiration. It's all about the perspiration. It's all about Creed. Weed. The Big G. I dare you to tell me the difference between this song and the last song. I dare you.
This one's a little more sad. He's had his heart broken.
There you go.
He enunciates a little more in that one.
Wait, don't let it go away.
It's just getting good.
Yeah. This is where it's really going to get good. Here's where it gets really good. Kicking it! I like it when he doesn't finish his words. Yeah, all right.
Arms Wide Open's got to be my favorite, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really, that's
it really hits you, that one.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And now tomorrow, I want to point out what's happening tomorrow.
Because yeah, lots going on.
This is important. Tomorrow, we got White Sox on WGN starting at 1 o'clock. And we are going to be, John Williams will be doing his show at 1 o'clock on WGNRadio.com, as well as WGN Radio app. Or you can just tell your smart speaker or, you know, tune in to TuneIn. WGN Radio on TuneIn. Just tell your smart speaker, play WGN Radio on TuneIn, and then we'll be right there.
Maybe you just did. You told someone smart speaker.
No, I might have just done that. It's correct. But the so we'll be right there waiting for you.
We are so hip. We're going to be online.
Yes. Well, we're already online
for 20 years.
I know, but now.
but tomorrow, I know people have been saying to us, you know, when the White Sox are on, if I want to listen to you guys, why aren't you online? Well, we are online starting tomorrow. We had to move studios and do all that stuff to get ourselves ready for this, because when we were doing the big move from the Tribune Tower over to here, you know, technologically we were, you know, they were setting up everything here. So now it's all ready to go. That's the point, is that starting tomorrow, when if there's something else going on, we can always catch us in our normal time.
Right.
Tomorrow.
Going to those places.
Right.
That you describe. Turn on the radio and be like, where are they? What's going on? I'm hearing baseball.
Right.
But physically, we're still going to be here, right?
Physically, we're going to be here doing the... Okay. And tomorrow's a gigantic day, because tomorrow you've got this protest. We had the Reverend on who's going to be doing this protest, Greg Livingston, on Lakeshore Drive,
shutting down.
They're meeting up, Lakeshore Drive in Belmont at 4.
Going to march up to the Cubs game. There's a night game. Going to be up, you know, near the Clark and Addison area.
All right.
Then there's a Sox game. Then there's Lollapalooza starting.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be all kinds of crazy things happening at Lollapalooza.
Well, I mean, yeah. Is Creed going to be there?
No, Creed will not be there. It's the only... Apparently Creed isn't anywhere. Why won't we get back together with the other guys from Creed? Why not put the band back together?
I don't know.
There's one of those kind of deals.
I don't know if the band's still around.
Classic falling out.
Yeah. Well, people, listen. You don't know if the band's still around. The Four Tops are still around, and they've been dead for years. You can always put the band together.
So a lot of traffic tomorrow. A lot of things.
When you
to keep
say
up
a
with.
Lot, I mean, it, like to get out of the city is going to take at least what 5 or 6 hours, Violetta.
I would avoid definitely Lakeshore Drive at all costs.
Well, yeah, because north or south, it's not going to be good because you got the Lolla.
I mean, going south this week's been all really the past week and a half, 2 weeks when Lolla's been getting ready. Mm-hmm. Just going south past the parks has been awful.
Very difficult.
2 weeks in advance, practically.
And on top of that, Thursday's the new Friday, so it's basically a Friday.
That's true.
Shaquille O'Neal is DJing an Lala after party tomorrow.
Here. Shaq.
Can you believe that?
At Prism. At right?
Prism nightclub.
What?
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of Balkan nights there. Serbian nights. I go there all the time.
Does Boris go?
Balkan nights?
Yeah, Balkan.
Is that what they call it? Balkan nights?
Because it's like all of the region, not just Serbians.
Boris lives for those nights.
Yeah.
Maybe Shaq's Balkan.
Might be.
I don't think so.
He's fallen.
He might have done the DNA test. You never know.
I don't think so.
Very surprising for some people. They learn things about themselves.
I don't think so.
I'm gonna say no on that one.
You might have
we'll
a hat.
Him. That's we'll
a,
take it.
I think you ask the Balkans if Shaq is Balkan and see what kind of response you get.
He's Shaq. We'll take him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Depends Shaq, how much you've accomplished.
Walking through Violetta's village in Serbia.
He's taller. Stand out. Everyone's 4'2".
Everybody run.
It is Monster than Village.
He's knocking over the hay houses we have.
Not since Frankenstein roamed through their village have they been so afraid.
He likes cabbage rolls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They might stick around and
they'll
eat.
They'll do a cabbage roll.
Mm-hmm. Well, water. I'm sure right. he's okay with
he's
that.
He's just trying to. He's just trying to sell him some salon paws.
A bunch of miniature people like Violetta running around yeah. and 7 foot two It'd be Shaq. Like
Wizard of Oz mm-hmm.
trekking his way through the little village.
We got little ladies and babushkas running for the well, jumping down the well. Look, oh my God, monster!
Hide.
And now he's like, hey, I'm Shaq. I was in the NBA.
Yeah, don't you know who I am?
I'm like a sheriff in Miami-Dade County. What's wrong
like
with you?
Like Vlade Divac.
Yeah. Now they would understand him.
The Marble Man.
Yeah.
I saw a documentary on him. Yep.
Yep. All right.
So he'll be at an after party. Cool.
I might check that out.
At Prism.
Not that I'm going to Lala, but I'll check out the after party.
And Shaq wants you to know that people think he's a celebrity DJ, but actually he's been doing it for years and years and years. So don't call him a celebrity DJ. Like that. He's been doing it since 1986.
Is this
kind of like you, Ro? Yeah.
Like that. Well, maybe he could maybe he could DJ like that. Balkan Night with the Boris remix.
Yeah, why not? The Balkans would love that. Sing it, Boris.
We have two big DJs, DJ Spaz. And DJ
I'm sorry,
Lemon.
What?
DJ Spaz. He's a very important Serbian DJ.
DJ Spaz.
Yeah, he also is running for political office, I think, in like Norwich.
DJ Spaz.
Does he give out money?
Is going to be the new mayor of Norwich. Yeah, now we need to telling us?
I don't know exactly which township he's doing.
Now we need to give the other political DJ a share right. time now.
Equal time.
Give him an endorsement.
DJ Spaz.
Yeah, DJ Spaz.
Spaz, like, as in spasmodic, as in, like, he's having a spaz attack, like that kind of spaz?
Yeah.
Does DJ Spaz get that's not, that, like, that's...
PC.
There was DJ Red with two Ds.
Oh,
but he's out of the business. Yes, he's out of the right. business.
Yes, DJ Limit, I'm out of the business because I'm into car repair now.
DJ Limit is also out. Yeah. So.
If you do need car parts, I can help you with that. I cannot help you with no DJ anymore. Okay.
Can I have multiple businesses?
DJ Spaz can win in Norwich.
Do we have any DJ? Can you find any DJ Spaz
let's
on the YouTube?
Got to
find that out. Well, let's do this first, and then mm-hmm. we'll do some DJ Spaz on the other side. And if you want to, if you really want to hear this, we'll do this on the internet show tomorrow, starting at 3:00. WGNRadio.com or WGN Radio on TuneIn or the WGN Radio app. However you want to do it. Wow. Okay.
All right.
Let's check.
Covered a lot of ground.
All right, Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Ro, it just got easier for Illinois parents to administer medical marijuana to their kids while they're at school.
I wonder where DJ Spaz stands on that, since he's now for elected office. Here's Violetta.